Hey there, Canes and Cats fans. I am Jared Ellis, host of Locked On Hurricanes, and I am joined by my friend Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers as we are here to preview the Eastern Conference Final as it kicks off tonight, Game 1 in Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you doing this morning, Armando?
I'm doing very well, Jared. Great to be getting together with you for not only this series, but to I think this is a big celebration of the sport, especially with the geographical part of the game, where with all four teams being in the Sun Belt.
Yes, I know, with Las Vegas being the northernmost team, but you know, all these teams remaining, Carolina, Florida, Dallas, Vegas, they all got big storylines going around them. But you know, of course, we are here to talk about the Hurricanes and the Panthers. But for you, what are the biggest storylines heading surrounding the Florida Panthers right now?
It's just the biggest storyline is their ability to adapt over time, and from what has happened in the regular season with a poor start and adjustments with trading for a superstar player in Matthew Tkachuk, who the Carolina Hurricanes were apparently in on Matthew Tkachuk in the offseason as well. And also a new coach in Paul Maurice, former Hurricanes head coach Paul Maurice, coming into this place and implementing a new system, and then the questions of whether this team was going to make the playoffs, and then all of a sudden in the postseason, well, not all of a sudden, but they were playing their backs against the wall from January on, and then really it hit to a new level come the postseason. Of course, we saw it with the upset against the Boston Bruins, best regular season team of all time, and then stopping that high power play from the Toronto Maple Leafs and their core four players. So the storylines is their ability to adjust over time throughout a season, and this Florida Panthers team is one that, It's a cliche, but the way they're built is playoff built. It's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be like it was last year with high scoring offense, but it's a team that's going to play very responsibly, get in on the forecheck, create opportunities off the turnover, and it's manifested in the postseason.
Yeah, and you know, we've said, you know, ever since, you know, we've been leading up to the conference final, when we've been, you know, really looking at Florida as a potential opponent, we've been saying, you know, this team is better than their playoff seeding says. They're better than an eighth seed, I believe, whenever everything was all said and done on the regular season. I believe they're like the 17th in the NHL, yes, or something like that. They're a better team than that, and you are seeing that right now. So the biggest storylines for the Hurricanes on the flip side, right now, the biggest one is the potential return of Teuvo Teravainen. He had his hand broken by Jean-Gabriel Pageau in round one against the Islanders on a nasty slash, and he's been out ever since. But he finally got out of the yellow no-contact jersey yesterday, and yeah, which Rod Bernard had been saying they'd really know more once he got out of that. And he has said yesterday that they'd really know at game time, or not game time, but morning skate today, where, you know, if he's able to get out there and skate and he feels like he's ready to go, then he's going to go. But that's probably not going to be something we know till after morning skating. It wouldn't surprise me if they kind of put it off for, you know, a lot of the game or a lot of the afternoon leading up to the game. So I really wouldn't expect to hear much about that. I personally not really expecting to see him start off this series, but I have been wrong many times in the past. So that's just something that we're just going to have to wait and see. Another big thing is the penalty kill having been so dominant. The Hurricanes, you know, have been leading the NHL in penalty killing percentage, you know, ever since the playoffs started, I believe, as we're sitting here on, what day is it, Thursday morning. I believe it's still, you know, at 93% operating at the top of all the remaining playoff teams. So if they can keep that up the way they've been going, that's going to work in their favor. So the Florida Panthers are going to have to work really, 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 really hard to try to crack it. If I remember correctly, the Islanders, I think, may have gotten one out of through their entire series. The Devils got two power play goals through their entire series out of all the games played. That was it. They've led like three, maybe four power play goals.
And the Canes can score shorthanded too.
Yes, they can. They absolutely can. And, you know, that's another thing that poses a threat for them. The power play has been a bit Jacqueline Hyde this playoff. So that's going to be interesting to see if they can get more consistent out of the power play, you know, and consistent in a good way. I should specify, you know, don't want consistently crap because that wouldn't be good. But if they can, you know, get, you know, to the point where it can continually look like a threat, that's going to be very important because we've seen throughout these playoffs how important the special teams battle has been. Mm-hmm. We've seen it be the deciding factor in Hurricanes games. We've seen it be the deciding factor. So you're going to want it to look like a threat. Offense has been having life this playoff, especially in that series against the New Jersey Devils. We saw how, you know, with the exception of game five, every game was a blowout. So, yeah, the fact that they've been able to score in the playoffs, where that's been an issue in the past few years, being able to get that done, that's going to be really, really important for the Hurricanes and getting that to continue. And then, yeah, should they win this series, having that continue on into the next round as well, that's going to be really, really freaking important for them.
Yeah, very important for the Carolina Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers. Their power play is almost at 30%, 27% to be exact. So that's going to be the matchup to watch for this series. I mean, they scored more power play goals than the Toronto Maple Leafs in their second round series. Hard to believe with how up and down the Florida Panthers power play has been this season. Of course, they finished in the top 12 in the regular season. And going back to a player that could be coming back, Ryan Lomberg as well. He was in rushes for the Panthers practice, being on that fourth line. He's used to playing with former Hurricane Eric Staal along with Colin White there as well. It's crazy. This is a battle of the Staals in this in this Eastern Conference final matchup. And you know, it's really gonna be the test for the Panthers on that power play. And you know, their PK was at 59% in the Boston series, but that number went up in the Toronto Maple Leafs series. Mm-hmm. So I want to be more of what have you done for me lately, and I want to see continued from what it was in the Maple Leafs series to this.
Yeah, the Hurricanes penalty kill, of course, is fantastic. So yeah, like you said, the power plays being pretty evenly matched, so that's going to be an important battle to watch there, and one that's, you know, like you alluded to at the top, you know, something that I feel, you know, like a lot of folks, you know, we've been talking about a lot on my show lately, is the fact that all the remaining teams are non-traditional markets. Again, Vegas is the northernmost team, which is wild. And this is something that's grabbing a lot of headlines, you know, nationwide. And, you know, I think Sarah Sivian said it best the other day when she was on my show. You know, this is how you grow the game. You know, you talk about wanting to do that, and then now you're having these, you know, teams in these non-traditional markets. You know, with us in Dallas, you know, we've been in these markets for a long time, but you know, it's still, you know, now we're finally getting back there. You and I, especially, it's how you grow the game. There's going to be folks, you know, watching, you know, Matthew Tkachuk on this run. There's going to be folks watching Sebastian Aho on this run. You know, players from Dallas, players from Vegas. You know, this is how you do it. You know, you're having these other teams, you know, be good. And yeah, you know, it's absolutely great to see. And you know, it's all different teams. It gets boring seeing the same ones all the time. And Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this series. And we will continue to talk about this series and key players for both sides right after this quick break. Attention, active individuals. Are you tired of sacrificing comfort for style when it comes to your activewear? Introducing Bird Dogs, the game changer in athletic shorts. Picture this: premium shorts designed for maximum performance combined with unparalleled comfort. Bird Dogs are here to revolutionize your workout routine. With their unique built-in liner, these shorts offer ultimate support and flexibility, ensuring you stay comfortable during even the most intense workout. And here's the best part: Bird Dogs are more than just workout gear. They're versatile enough to take you from the gym to the street without skipping a beat. Designed with pockets that actually work, Bird Dogs give you ample space to store your essentials while you're on the move. Bird Dogs are made with premium breathable fabric that keeps you cool, dry throughout your activities. Perfect for the trails, the gym, or simply lounging around. Bird Dogs are the shorts you've been searching for. Order your pair of Bird Dogs today and join thousands of their satisfied customers who have made the switch. Visit birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL. I was getting ahead of myself there. To get a free Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Bird Dogs, where style meets comfort and performance meets perfection. Get yours now and unleash your true potential. Now, diving back into the Eastern Conference Final. Now, when it comes to key players, you know, when you get this deep in the playoffs, every player is a key player, because you're going to want everyone up and down your lineup, you know, chipping in. At this point, you know, it can't be a one or two man pony show. It's got to be a complete team game. You know, a lot of people, you know, get Edmonton crap. You know, it's outside of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You know, you don't really have a whole lot there, and you see where that has gotten them the past few years. You know, you can't go and win the Stanley Cup with just one or two guys carrying, you know, 90% of the load. You can't do that. But you know, at this point in time, you're also going to be looking at, you know, specific guys to elevate their game that much more. You know, but you know, looking at the Florida Panthers side of things, who are some key players that you are looking for to, you know, elevate their game, you know, even more than what it already has been at?
I think for me it's the third line of Lundell, Etu Lustarainen, and former Hurricane as well, and Sam Reinhart. I mean, there's a whole bunch of former Hurricanes, whether it's coaching staff or players, that are currently on this Florida Panthers roster. Etu Lustarainen, of course, being part of the Vincent Trocheck, Eric Halla trade that also brought Lucas Walmark here as well. And of course, the Panthers were selling at the time in 2020, and an opportunity for Etu at the time to develop. And of course, when he was brought into the lineup, he was considered a depth piece, but man, this guy has really grown before our very eyes here in South Florida. And his defensive game is very similar to an Alexander Barkov. He plays penalty kill. He's getting in your face on the forecheck, creating turnovers, and he's a very, very unselfish player. Etu Lustarainen, and then Lundell manning that third line. Lundell's had a little bit of a struggle in his sophomore season. Has been bumped up to Barkov's wing, but that plateaued for a little bit. He had to be on the second line when Sam Bennett was out this year as well. And then it's crazy how for the Florida Panthers, the lines have started to mesh at the right time, because Nick Cousins is on that second line wing, and Nick Cousins hasn't really played on the second line really this whole season. And then you put him there in the postseason, and voila, the Florida Panthers and how they play offensively as well. Just, it's just the crazy amount of opportunities they make for scoring chances as well. So the whole third line, and also Nick Cousins, who got the game-winning goal the overtime winner against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So those are my X factors there. And another one, I want to point out another one. Brandon Montour is one as well. He's increased his role with Mackenzie Weegar being shipped out in the Matthew Tkachuk trade. And he's definitely grown into what he was even at the beginning of his Florida Panthers tenure in 2021. Of course, was on a rebuilding Buffalo team who his name was probably not brought up much in the national media, of course, even before in Anaheim as well. And he's definitely grown into that bigger role, and he's pretty solid on that second pair, even though sometimes he has to make up for the mistakes of his partner Mark Stahl on the blue line. So those are a few players that I have listed, because we know Matthew Tkachuk's gonna upset the opposition. Barkov, he's always going to be on the defensive zone draws, especially. I'm expecting that him and Jordan Staal are going to be paired up a lot, especially on the offensive zone faceoffs. I know Jordan Staal is not really met in the situation to score goals. He's meant to stop the opponent's best players as well. We know those two. Even though we could see Barkov get a little more active on the offensive end, we know that he's going to do it on the defensive side of the puck as well. But those are a few players that I have listed as who's going to hopefully make the difference for the Cats.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, you know, with the Hurricanes, you know, I'm looking at our first defensive pair of Jacob Slavin and Brent Burns a lot here, because, you know, the defense is going to be key here. We've seen what the Florida Panthers can do. And you know, just shutting them down completely. You talk about Jordan Staal and you know, what his primary role is in these sorts of situations, and that's absolutely correct. So you know, obviously expect that. But yeah, I'm really looking at this first defensive pair, mostly you know, Jacob Slavin on the defensive side of things. And you know, because we all know just how good of a defensive defenseman he is. You know, he's not a very flashy player. He just gets out there and plays arguably the best defensive game in the National Hockey League. And, you know, so you're really going to be looking at him here to, you know, just do what he's been doing all playoff. He's had a heck of a playoff and really just turn up to 11 and just whoever he ends up being matched up with. Of just shutting them down. Like, he's so good at cutting off lanes, smothering people. Like, he's just good at it all defensively. So really looking at that to continue. Obviously, the same goes for Brent Burns as well, but I also do want to see, you know, him on the offensive side of things. You know, the Hurricanes offense, you know, in the regular season, a lot of the time it ran through the blue line. They set a franchise record with how many points they ended up tallying up. So really going to be looking at him big time here as well, along with Brady Shea, Brett Pesci, Jalen Chatfield, Shane Gostisbehere, of course. But, you know, Brent Burns, yeah, he scored, you know, the two goals he has scored in the playoffs so far, one in each round, have been very freaking timely and right when the Hurricanes needed them. And actually, I believe he scored three. It's either two or three. I'm starting to blank. So we're going to move on from that. But, yeah. He's also, you know, been racking up assists as well. So want to see him continue just be involved in the offense, because the Hurricanes are at their best offensively when they're playing a complete team game. Moving on from him, Sebastian Aho. I know it's kind of cliche putting him here, but, you know, if it was round two, I'd be rolling my eyes a little bit at myself if I put him here. But now we're in the conference final, and, you know, Andrei Svechnikov is out. Max Pacioretty is out. You don't know what's going to happen with Teuvo Teravainen, whether or not he's going to be back. So this is a time where, you know, you want your top guys to play like top guys. And, you know, whenever, you know, the going's getting tough, you know, they need to, you know, be the top guy, get out there and, you know, put the puck in the back of the net or shut down the other team defensively. Sebastian Aho can do it both. But you know, this is the time, you know, when you know, the highlights, you know, come up, you know, 10, 15 years from now, you know, we see, you know, that goal from Sebastian Aho that sent them back to the Stanley Cup final. You know, so this is the time of the year, you know, again, everyone needs to be elevating their play, but this is when you're going to be looking at the top guys, the star players to do star player things. All right. And, you know, a guy that had a ridiculous series against the New Jersey Devils, Jordan Martinook, a 10-point series there. Should have been 11, but they took an assist away from him because, yeah, they didn't want him to be better than Connor McDavid.
None in the first round, too.
I know. Yeah, none in the first round, 10 in the second round. He absolutely Amazing. Killed it. And, you know, when it came to him in the first round, it wasn't that he played a bad series or anything like that. He was all over the ice. It just wasn't going in for him. The puck he just wasn't having the puck luck. And that was the, you know, downside for there. Then the second round, things turned around and, you know, it got going for him and we see what happened. So I'm really looking at him to continue that momentum that he's been building and carry it over into this series here against the Florida Panthers. Am I expecting another 10-point series from him? No. But it would be awesome. But no, I'm not expecting that. It's really, you know, just continue to be a threat, continue to be a menace, and, you know, just do what he's been doing. Really, yeah, don't change anything. And then finally is, of course, Frederik Andersen. He, again, I know a little cliche, but, you know, he was brought in to be the Hurricanes' number one goaltender, like Bob with Florida. And, you know, you finally got him here. And, you know, so far, Freddie, in the playoffs, with the exception of the one game, he's been playing pretty darn good. They wanted a number one goaltender when they brought him in, and he's doing everything they're asking him to do. It took quite a while, you know, for him to make his playoff debut for the Hurricanes. It was actually, you know, his before, you know, game six against Islanders, the last time he played a playoff game was in the bubble. It was over 900 days since he had last played a playoff game, and he has, you know, gotten right into it and hasn't missed a beat. He's, you know, been really, really stinking good. And, you know, on the flip side of that is, you know, he played, you know, game six against the Islanders, and then all five games against the New Jersey Devils. Obviously, game three, he ended up getting pulled in favor of Pyotr Kochetkov. But yeah, he's played in every game. He started every game. So it will be interesting to see what the Hurricanes do in net long term in this series. Starting out, it's going to be Freddie. But, you know, in game two, game three, do we see Antti Raanta? From what I'm hearing is, you know, he is healthy again. So that's great. But, you know, on the flip side of that, should he not be ready to go, do you see Pyotr Kochetkov? Ultimately, it's just going to be have to be something we wait and see. But also, you know, it's the playoffs. You go with the hot set of hands. And, you know, if that's Freddie Andersen, if that's Antti Raanta, if that's Pyotr Kochetkov, that's what you do. Antti Raanta, he started the first five games of the playoffs. So it's not like you haven't, you know, done this kind of thing before. But, yeah, yeah. And again, we could go down the list of every single player on both rosters of why, you know, they're going to be a key piece for this series. So, you know, let's not, you know, think about, you know, oh, Matthew Tkachuk, he isn't going to be important in this series. Or, you know, Martin Natchez, he's not going to be a key person in this series. No, every person is a key player now. And you know, these were just, you know, specific guys that we were wanting to highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's crazy how three goalies for the Carolina Hurricanes, how well they play around the goalies as well. I mean, basically playing three all season. I mean, and for the Florida Panthers side of things, credit to Alex Lyon and helping the Florida Panthers get here. Former Hurricane Alex Lyon, who won a Calder Championship with the Chicago Wolves last year, by the way. And starting the series, and then ever since Sergei Bobrovsky being hot, and ever since coming into game three against the Boston Bruins, had a rough game four against them, And then ever since that, Sergei Bobrovsky has just been lights out as far as stopping pucks, especially stopping the superstar players in both Boston and Toronto. And the save of the playoffs right now is that breakaway that he had on Brad Marchand in game 5 right before overtime. And then the Florida Panthers end up winning that game. And who would have thought that after that, we would have seen 8 more playoff games for the Panthers plus 4 more max. So 12 total after stopping that breakaway from Marchand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun series for sure. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing, you know, what player is going to step up, you know, on both sides. You know, who are we going to see? You know, like in round 2, we saw Jordan Martinook, you know, a guy you don't expect, you know, 10 points in 5 games. You don't expect that from him. So it's going to be really exciting to see who is next, you know, for both sides, for the Hurricanes and the Panthers. It's going to be really fun to see who steps up to help their team get over this hump. But, you know, after this quick break, you know, we're going to get into the X factors for the series and things that could really make a difference in this series. And we will dive into that right after this quick break, folks. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is the perfect fit. And it's the same for when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts, accessories, head over to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part fits just right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check, knowing it to be a perfect fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confident is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. And it's easy to bring home all of the right price. Bring home a win when all the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available for U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Now, again, you know, with X factors, yeah, this is something, you know, we can be here, you know, all day long, you know, till puck drop talking about. So obviously, probably gonna be something that, you know, you may feel that, you know, we should be mentioning for either side and we didn't get to it. But again, yeah, this is something right now where every little thing is going to matter, you know, whether it's a big little thing, you know, like Teuvo Teravainen. Whether it's a little tiny thing, you know, it's going to be, you know, every little thing matters that much more at this point in time. But yeah, you know, for the Florida Panthers, what are your X factors or other little miscellaneous tidbits of information going on around them right now?
I just think when it comes to that, you know that in the postseason, you are... It's not going to be a lot of high scoring games. I mean, and credit to the Panthers that they've been able to play in these low scoring games. And it really comes down to the goaltending as well and how they perform on the penalty kill. And listen, also the Panthers don't necessarily have to win the possession battle necessarily in this game. I mean, in every single regular season matchup for the Panthers versus the Hurricanes, the Hurricanes won the Corsi 4 percentage. I mean, both of these teams are top 5 in the NHL in Corsi 4 percentage. So it's going to be interesting which way the ice tilts towards that. And these two teams are very different from the first three matchups. I mean, the first two came in the first 3 months of the season. I mean, one was the first week of November where we were wondering whether there was going to be a cancellation or a postponement of the game due to a hurricane coming into South Florida, and then the Florida Panthers shutting out the Hurricanes, and then the next month in December, right before the new year, Hurricanes shut out the Panthers and scored 3 power play goals, and then the fourth one was just as the power play was ending for Carolina, and then they shut out. Bobrovsky hasn't seen the Hurricanes at all this season. The first two matchups was Spencer Knight versus Antti Raanta. And then the third matchup was Alex Lyon versus Freddie Anderson. So I'm wondering how Bobrovsky is going to see this matchup and how he's going to perform when he hasn't seen this specific team at all this season. And of course, the minor changes that Carolina went through in the trade deadline, getting a Shane Gostisbehere in the blue line, getting a Jesse Puljujärvi, even though he's been in and out of the lineup for Carolina as well. These are two teams that made moves, or lack thereof moves, as far as minor things, and still made it this far. Just goes to show that you don't have to go super aggressive in the trade deadline to make it this far. I mean, zero trade deadline moves for the Panthers at all, and they made it here. They were 9 points out as early as January, and they got in with 92 points. So it's also credit to both GMs of Don Wardell and Bill Zito, how they knew when to pivot when the going got tough for the Florida Panthers side of things, and then for the Carolina Hurricanes side of things, knowing when to add. I mean, they viewed their trade deadline acquisition as Max Pacioretty with his Achilles injury. It's funny because with Anthony Duclair, with seeing how Pacioretty went down, I was thinking Duclair needs to watch what happened with Pacioretty and not rush himself back as well, because Pacioretty got injured after Duclair with his Achilles and came back before.
Yeah, so he tore his Achilles in the off season, practicing. Then he came back, played like, I think it was like 5 or 6 games, and tore it again.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, I guess he hit a groove in the ice or something, and tore it again. He really didn't play a whole lot. He came back, right before the trade deadline, and at the time, I was even one of the people that were thinking the Hurricanes should go get someone like Timo Meier at the deadline. And because at the time, it felt like, okay, we need someone to get us over in the playoffs, because in previous years, offense has just dried up in the playoffs and it has been god awful, and they haven't been able to score goals, and that was why Max Pacioretty was brought in the first place, to help give the offense life. So, obviously looking back in hindsight, didn't need to do that. We had all the pieces here already, for them to, get over that hump in the playoffs. It's just going to be maintaining it. And that's really my biggest X factor for the Hurricanes, is can they maintain the offense? Because, we've talked about, Teuvo Teravainen. Obviously, that will be an X factor of whether or not he can come back and when he can come back. Because of the Hurricanes offense, in previous playoffs, it just being so bad and it's such a non-factor, it's finally able, we're finally seeing what it can do. So for it to, be able to actually work, that's a massive X factor for them. And, you talk about, what both teams did at the trade deadline. It's really a testament, to, trusting the process. I know a lot of, Hurricanes fans, myself included, have given, the Hurricanes a lot of crap over the years of the "we like our group," type stuff. And, because a lot of it stems back to the Ron Francis days when they would never do anything, and we saw what was going on with them then. So, this is showing like, hey, not every team has to go and make a big blockbuster trade, because look at the teams who did. Rangers are out, Maple Leafs are out, Bruins are out, Devils are out. All the teams that made these really, really big trades at the deadline, they ain't playing no more. It was, it's us and, teams that really didn't do anything and that are, really built to win in the playoffs. I think you said it best. These are teams that are built to win in the playoffs, and we're seeing it right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And And of course, with the we can't deny the Florida Panthers winning the President's Trophy this last year, and then a good part of the core coming back. I know they had a shakeup with Matthew Tkachuk coming in, but when you have that experience, that a lot of people were talking about how this isn't your normal eighth seed going into the postseason. Of course, with the experience factor in Paul Maurice as well, this is definitely gonna be help them get a little bit of a leg up even going into the postseason. And hey, look what happens. You win two rounds and they're here to get an opportunity to advance to their first Stanley Cup final since 1996. And Raleigh has been a house of horrors for the Panthers ever since really the Hurricanes moved from Hartford to Raleigh. I mean, 2000s, the Florida Panthers on the road in Raleigh are 5-21-2. 7-13-0. And then in the 2020s, 4-5-0. That's according to McCube.net as well. So it's going to be a little bit of a tough battle for the Florida Panthers because they'll need to win one game at least in order to win this series. But they've been outstanding on the road too. They're 6-1 on the road in the postseason. So no place intimidates these Panthers.
Yeah, I think you kind of said it best earlier. It's what have you done for me lately? Given the fact that they have so consistently lost in Raleigh over the past few decades, that's not great for them. That's counting the dark years for the Hurricanes as well, when they were not good, to put it lightly. So for the Hurricanes, I think for them it's very it's very it's a weight off their shoulders that they've gotten back to the conference final, because it kept being a second round exit and getting over that hump. And everyone was expecting the Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup. All right. Yeah. They're the best regular season team of all time. We were all expecting, all right, it'll probably be Carolina and Boston in the conference final. Boston goes on. It's kind of what everyone was expecting coming out of the East. And that's not the case. So it does feel like, all right, the Hurricanes' biggest opposition and biggest threat is gone. It feels like, this team, obviously, if you get in the playoffs, you have a shot, because anything can happen on any given night. We've seen that many times before, Team of the Florida Panthers. No one was expecting to win against the Bruins and the Leafs, but they did. It really feels like, this Hurricanes team has a shot, to get it done. And, I feel that, they are. I feel one thing that was important for them was, giving them the edge over, New Jersey was their playoff experience. Because New Jersey has guys on that roster that have been to the playoffs, but as a whole, as a very young team we'll say a little playoff experience here because of those veteran guys on there. But everyone on the Hurricanes has playoff experience, and this core group, they've learned how to lose, and I think that was important. For them, because they got a taste of winning in the playoffs, going to the conference final in 2019, and then they've won at least one playoff series in every season under Rod Brindamore as head coach. So for the past now 5 years, they've won at least one playoff series. So it's also, they know how to win in the playoffs. They know how to win a series, but they also know how to lose a series. And they've gotten tired of it. We've heard what Sebastian Aho has had to say after these playoff exits. It's never good, and they're sick of it, plain and simple. They want to win. This is an extremely, extremely competitive team, and you have, again, everyone on this team has playoff experience. With guys, you know, having played in the Stanley Cup final, guys having won the Stanley Cup final. All right. Yeah. So when, you know, they're sitting in the locker room talking about stuff, you know, these guys be like, all right, yeah, hey, I know what it's like to get here. Or, yeah, I know what it's like to hoist that trophy. And it's very much akin to Rod Brindamore as your head coach. These guys have been there and done that. They know what they're talking about. They're not just some guy, you know, saying, you know, whatever. They know what they're talking about. And every guy, they've been here. They know what it takes to win. And I do think that is one thing that could give them the edge over the Florida Panthers is their combined playoff experience. Again, like Florida Panthers, like the New Jersey Devils, they have guys on that roster with playoff experience. Yeah, and it's not like, you know, they're not the New Jersey Devils. Yeah, the Florida Panthers, you know, they have more playoff experience than the Devils combined. Obviously, they went, you know, last year, and you have different guys on that roster that have had playoff experience in different places. But it just feels like, you know, as a whole, the Hurricanes, they learned how to lose together and they learned how to win together. And that's going to be what, in my opinion, is going to give them the edge over the Florida Panthers. But, you know, series predictions. First off, neither team is getting a sweep here. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement in that. I think this is a series that goes 6-7 games. I am going to say Hurricanes in 7. What about you, Armando?
It's crazy because the first two series for the Panthers, I picked Boston in 6 in the first one, and I picked Maple Leafs in 6 for the second one in their series. Of course, this was supposed to be your supposed gap year for the Panthers with a whole bunch of dead cap on their books with about $6.4 million as well. But how this team has been brought together and how they've been able to change their game in the postseason with playing these low scoring games. I mean, Carolina, identity wise, is of all their opponents is probably the most identical to the Panthers as far as style of play.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as opponent. So this is, even though record wise, even though Matthew Tkachuk has said, oh, even though you beat the best team, the best thing about it is you get to face the second best team. But as far as this, it's of course it's all about matchups. And this one is going to be by far the hardest yet. I know the further you advance, the harder it's going to be. But as far as how these two teams are built, it's going to be tough for the Panthers. And the Carolina Hurricanes have been knocking on the door for the last four seasons. Mm-hmm. But the Florida Panthers have made me a believer here, Jared. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's kind of like a Cinderella story. For this team, it's just about being hot at the right time. And I think their road to the Eastern Conference Finals gives them a heck of an opportunity that they feel that they're confident that they'll play with anyone. So I picked the opposition in the first two series. And it's funny because I picked the Carolina Hurricanes preseason to make the Stanley Cup final against the Edmonton Oilers, but Edmonton's no longer there in the postseason. But as far as this, I'm changing it. I'm saying that the Florida Panthers will be the one to win this series. I'm going to say Florida in 7. I think it's going to be, and to make it a little spicier, I think it's going to be an overtime winner too. And
going to have to wait and see on that. Again, this is a series. It's going to be a war between these two teams. And it's going to be really, really fun. It's funny. Yeah, you picked, you know, Carolina and Edmonton, you know, the 06 matchup, you know, running it back in, you know, the Hurricanes 25th anniversary season. So that would have been a lot of fun as well. But this is going to be a really, really fun series. I think, you know, you talk about, you know, how these teams are, you know, pretty identical or matchups, you know, are, you know, going to be very similar. I think, you know, that's very, very true. And I think, you know, one thing that'll work in the Hurricanes' advantage, yeah, something I didn't bring up, you know, in when I was talking about why I felt the Hurricanes would win, is, you know, the matchups, you know, of what they're getting put out on the ice. You know, Rad Brindamore, you know, when they're here, you know, he's going to have that advantage. And, you know, that we saw that, you know, in that second round series against New Jersey, of how he was able to put Jordan Staal's line out there against Jack Hughes' line and just absolutely smother and shut them down. I think, you know, we're going to see, you know, some coaching chess battle type stuff here. And they know each other. That's going to be one that's also going to be really fun to watch. Because you've mentioned, you know, a lot about, you know, the Hurricanes connection down there in Florida. You know, with, you know, I really don't put a lot of stock into it. It's, you know, kind of one thing, you and I and the rest of the media, you know, playing up more than, you know, the actual teams. But, you know, it is worth noting Paul Maurice coached Rod Brindamore to the Eastern Conference Final in 2001 and 2009, with them getting to the Stanley Cup Final that first time. And then now they'll be coaching against each other here in 2023. So you do feel, you know, some of the things Rod Brindamore does, you know, picked up from Paul Maurice, you know, during his day. Obviously, Brindamore is very much his own coach. He isn't trying to emulate anyone. But, you know, it's going to be a chess battle out there coaching-wise as well. It's not just going to be the battle on the ice that's going to affect the outcome of the day. It's also going to be that coaching battle as well. But, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we can sit here and talk until the Pigs and the Panthers come home. But, yeah, it worked better for your mascot, not mine. But, you know, we could sit here and talk all day, but at the end of the day, we just got to get to puck drop to see what happens tonight. In the meantime, Armando, where can everyone find you and your show?
They can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Follow the show account on Twitter and Instagram at LO_FLA Panthers. Of course, Locked On Panthers, wherever you listen to podcasts. And final words. Long live the Southeast Division.
Yes, long live the Southeast Division. And, of course, you can find myself on Twitter at JaredEllis_96. You can find the show on Twitter at LO_Hurricanes. It is also going to be available on all stream platforms, as well as the SiriusXM app, the SXM app. Yeah, you can just search Locked On Hurricanes or Locked On Panthers or all of your other favorite Locked On shows. They will be available over there as well. And then you can also find Locked On Hurricanes on YouTube at Locked On Hurricanes. And we will talk to you guys later. And as always, yeah, for the Hurricanes, let's go Hurricanes. And for you, Armando,
I guess go Cats go, because that's what the arena has been doing lately. So,
well, there you go. Let's go Canes. And, well, for you, go Cats go, but, you know, don't go Cats. Ha ha ha.